Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So interesting week, primary day this week in Wisconsin. While my guy didn't win, I would have loved to have seen Malin Mitchell take on Scott Walker in the fall. I'm still hoping that the victor will send Walker packing. Well, or packing at least to his Koch brother funded gig, whatever that will be. That's the one thing the right does really well. They take care of their own. And here to share some thoughts on what happened Election Day and maybe where the state of Wisconsin could maybe, hopefully, please move back towards sanity and lead the rest of the nation there as well. I've asked John Havlicek to come talk with us. He's president of the La Crosse Education Association, also president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate the time. So, big day on Tuesday. Hopefully, come November, Walker finds the curb.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we really need good turnout, and the numbers that I've been seeing show that the Dems are fired up, and we had a lot of good turnout on Tuesday, and hopefully that transfers over to the general.
So, what do you think of the Dem nominee?
You know, Dr. Evers is a good guy. He's smart. He's got experience. I think he'll do very well. You know, he's been very popular across the state, and basically you can tell how dangerous of an opponent he is simply based on all the attack ads that have been running now coming out of Governor Walker's campaign.
I mean, I can't imagine. You know, we were there as a program. We were in the Capitol in 2011 when Walker and the Republicans were ramming through Act 10, us and 100,000 of our closest friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember at that time going, you know, this is bad. If this is allowed to happen, this sweeps across the country. There's going to be momentum, and this is just going to be bad. And I came back to Pennsylvania, and I told, you know, the powers to be in the labor movement going, hey, start preparing because these attacks are coming. And ultimately, they have swept across the country. My hope now is that Wisconsin is the place where we begin to undo all that damage, that, you know, we wake up from our collective whatever it has been the last 7 or 8 years, and we start moving in a more positive, progressive direction.
I absolutely hope so. You know, I think a lot of it was just a little bit of complacency, and I think what we're starting to realize is that issues that we thought were pretty much settled, whether they're civil rights issues or economic issues, voting issues, you name it, things that we thought were settled, the hard right, the hyper-wealthy elite that want those things changed, they just never gave up.
Yep.
And they just kept hammering at them and hammering at them and pouring money into it. And as soon as we took our foot off the gas, then that's when they saw an opening and they took advantage of it. And here in Wisconsin, you know, they ran through a bunch of policies that people didn't really like, but a lot of the people, you know, just the general voters, weren't really aware of. And now we're seeing a real pushback, which is good.
Well, I mean, in public education being one of those arenas, you know, of this push towards privatizing public education and all of the, you know, the splitting of the pot by creating charters and all of these other silver bullet ideas. You know, I'm hoping there's an appetite to say, you know what, we need to defend public education and we need to defend our local schools and then, you know, get back to fixing what problems there are and moving forward in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when they do national surveys, nurses and teachers always come out on top as the most trusted professional. And people in Wisconsin value public education. And I think, you know, Governor Walker and his schemes were just a real slick marketing job. And people didn't quite understand how damaging they were going to be. And now they do. You know, and that's why in the last, 3 or 4 years, about 70% of the local referenda passed to fund their schools. Because people understand that, you know, you've got to fund the school. It's so important. And it's really the only place in our country where everybody gets a fair shake. And now they're understanding that, geez, these policies have been really very damaging.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, I go back and I remember a lot of the things that Walker championed of the right-wing ideological, from their wish list. And, you know, you can just go down the list and none of what they told us, you know, happened. I mean, you go down the tax cuts, you go down destroying unions, you go down, you know, getting rid of prevailing wage, you know, you privatize parts of education. Everything that they've told us over the years has been patently false and almost the exact opposite. And, you know, I keep asking the question, when do we as voters, you know, finally push back on this right-wing, all these right-wing myths that they keep telling us are true, but never seem to ever really come to fruition?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge misinformation campaign, and it's very slickly packaged. And you know, when you have a 30-second soundbite that you hear over and over and over, you know, it takes more time to understand these things because these issues are nuanced. They're complicated.
Yeah.
And hopefully we do a good enough job of cutting through all that BS and getting the truth out there.
No, I mean, and from an education standpoint, you look at the Trump administration, no fund of public education, no fan of public education,
sure.
By putting someone like billionaire Betsy in charge of it. When you're talking to people, do they get the sense that public education is really under attack? When you talk with folks, you know, especially parents, do they see that you're not a greedy, evil teacher, but that, you know, what they get is, you know, is important?
Yeah, they absolutely do. You know, we do a lot of advocacy work. And so like, I put a lot of letters in our local paper, and I do a lot of work with our local media. And people see me on the street then. And, you know, I'm from a pretty small town, right? 50,000 people. And people on the street will be like, hey, I recognize you. And, you know, you do a food pantry or you do a whatever, and thanks for doing that. You know, we really support that. And that's where you see the support at the voting booths because we put referenda, I don't know how they do it out in Pennsylvania, but here we have a local operating referenda just to keep teachers in the classrooms, you know, and they pass overwhelmingly these last few years.
Yeah, because you're
80% of them.
Yeah, because you're seeing, you know, gutting it from the state level. And this is where, you know, I love, you know, here in Pennsylvania, they talk about, you know, the state reps will run around saying, well, we didn't raise your taxes. And you go, well, maybe not at the state level, but at the local level, my taxes keep going up because I do want to teach a qualified teacher in a classroom. I do want, you know, the most recent materials for my kids to make sure that they've got an opportunity. So my taxes are still going up. It's maybe not you doing it, but it's still happening.
Yeah. Well, and it's you know, still just this big shifting of the money. You know, people are starting to get wise because it's kind of just a, what do they call it, a shell game. And that's where, you know, we talk about things like vouchers that you mentioned earlier. You know, that's money that comes right off the top. And, like, here in La Crosse, it's almost $1 million a year that are funneled into these vouchers, these private school vouchers. And most of those kids didn't even go to the public schools to begin with.
Right.
So no, it's really just underwriting the bottom line for the private schools.
Oh, well, no, it's a tax cut for the people who are already going to send their kids there anyway. And it's it was what it was. I know when Pennsylvania was fiddling around with this idea, I had one of the state reps on who was talking. He was one of the main drivers of it. And I said, so let me get this straight. If I get one of these golden tickets, if you give me, I win one of these vouchers somehow, and my kid gets this golden ticket, can I send them to the, you know, Germantown Academy in Philadelphia or Abington Friends School or one of those places that, like, kindergarten's like $40,000 a year?
And, oh,
he's like, absolutely. And I'm going, are you sure about that? Are you absolutely positive that when I get this golden ticket, I can send my kid anywhere? And the weird thing is he didn't even understand his own bill. Because, you know, how it was is you only got the money that your school district would have spent on your kid. So, you know, let's say my school district spends $10,000. I still got to come up with the other 30 to send them to that school, which that's not going to happen. In most working class families, it's not going to happen.
No, and even, you know, they ignore this. There's this real logical fallacy here that just because we can divide the funding for the district by the number of students that come up with some kind of a number, that number is actually kind of meaningless when you're talking about adding or subtracting one kid or two kids or three kids. Because, you know, you pull three kids out of some school, five kids out of some school, that school's expenses don't go down at all.
Right.
The costs don't go down at all. But that funding gets pulled out. Likewise, on the other end of it, that voucher school that gets five more kids, their costs don't go up at all, but they get more funding. So it's really, there's a real logical fallacy there, and I think people are starting to understand that those numbers are very misleading.
And my favorite part is you got these cyber charters who don't have brick-and-mortar problems, yet we're still paying for that as if they were going to a brick-and-mortar school. And on the other side of this, and this is the thing that, you know, really just infuriates me, when the cyber charter fails or the charter school fails, and they do it at alarming rates, those kids have to go back to the public school without the funding that they took with them.
Yeah.
So, again, you're getting double shots, and that affects every other kid in that school.
Yeah, and you know, and the proponents of these things, they just ignore that. And I actually had a chance to talk to Governor Walker just a few days ago on Sunday. He seems to show up in La Crosse quite a bit, and it's never announced unless you're like one of the you know, like you said, the golden ticket, the select few that get an invite. But a friend of mine, who's another teacher, saw his bus, and he called me, so I quick drove over there. And I think the governor didn't recognize me, probably. His media person probably didn't, because I've kind of gone at it like in interviews and things like that with the governor a few times. And I said, sure, I'd love to ask a question. And the governor just kept saying, John, show me the research. Show me the research. I said, Governor, the research is conclusive. These online charters don't work. Vouchers don't actually make anything better. Private schools don't do as good of a job educating kids as public schools do. It's just, you account for one thing and one thing only. You account for the socioeconomic status of the parents, and it's night and day. Public schools do a better job.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see. You know, we just kind of keep pushing back and don't give up.
And keep organizing. Look, at the end of the day, I'm hoping the biggest, we've had a lot of marches the last year and a half. I'm hoping the biggest march will be the March to the Polls in November. And Wisconsin would be one of those places that I would love to see a governor's mansion flipped. But also, you guys are defending a Senate race as well. I mean, I like Tammy Baldwin. I think she's a good senator. I thought she was a great congresswoman. But, you know, now you've got this, you know, the Alec, hand-picked Alec candidate running up against her.
Yeah, Leah Vukmir? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I see the Leah Vukmir ads, and she says things like, you know, we took down the unions and we got rid of the da-da-da-da. And I thought to myself, lady, you're making the wrong argument. The tide has turned. People get it. Unions, you know, we create a more fair system for our entire country. So to say that you took down the unions, what those people are really hearing is, I really took a hammer to your librarian. And boy, that lunch later better not think about getting health care, you know. So I think, you know, Tammy Baldwin's hugely popular in our state. And if we can drive the vote up, you know, the number of people that – the participants, the number of people that vote, it's all good for us. And I think we can.
No, and that's the hope. I mean, at the end of it, and there's a reason why I thought it was important that we talk about it, is, you know, I want to make sure people know Wisconsin's on the map, and that is, it isn't completely crazy anymore, or at least it's still not crazy.
No, and he, you know, it's funny because now Governor Walker is just so transparent. He's running as the education governor.
How's that possible? Wait a second. How's it possible he's running as the education governor?
I'm not kidding. It's the, what do they call it, the big lie? That you can get away with a big lie better or more easily than you can with a small lie. You just yell it over and over and over. And that's what he's doing. And so his ads say, oh, he put $600 million into the school's budget, and it was $200 per kid, and da-da-da-da-da. And then he conveniently leaves off that they cut $600 per kid just a few years ago, that we get a lot of zero increases, and $200, I mean, that's great. Don't get me wrong, that's nice, but when we're talking about a $10,000 per kid expense, $200 that's 2%. That barely keeps up with inflation, if it even does.
I mean, and again, this is one of those moments where the choices are very clear. It's easy to cut through the minutiae and the lies. The records are very clear. And I'm hoping that the people in Wisconsin, because I would love to go back to Wisconsin and have it be a positive outcome. Look, I went in 2011, and I remember driving out, and the news media was saying, there's all this trouble, and the union thugs are taking over the Capitol, and they're storming the Bastille. And I tell this story all the time. We got out of the car, and I started walking to the Capitol, because, look, I was a Teamster for 20 years. I don't mind a little jostling around here and again. So I'm walking through, and a woman who had to be 90 years old handed me a sweet potato. And I'm going, but this isn't the jostling around I was expecting. And I walk like 20 more feet, and a guy handed me a bratwurst. And I'm going, what the heck is this? Yeah. And that's how the whole, the 10 days we were there, that's how it was. I mean, it was the cleanest occupation. It was the most polite environment. It was just everything that the media wasn't telling us, because they weren't on the ground. They weren't paying attention to it. And, the people there knew why they were there. They were there to defend education. They were there to defend workers' rights. And the sad reality is the Republicans had the votes to ram it through. And a lot of that then, went on to other states.
Yeah, and, one other thing that we've learned is that we need to reach out to our union brothers and sisters a lot more than we were. And so, we really make it a point to work with the machinists and the mechanical engineers and the operators and the insulators and the plumbers and the carpenters. And we've really done a much better job of forging those connections, kind of building those bridges. Just these last couple of days here in La Crosse, I don't know if you've heard of Train Company. They make industrial air conditioning, HVAC stuff.
Right.
And they were on strike. And so I put it out to my friends on Facebook, hey, stop by, show some support for our brothers and sisters. And when I came by, I talked to a couple of guys, and they're like, oh yeah, we had a whole pile of teachers show up. We had teachers dropping off bottles of water because it was 90 plus degrees. We had teachers dropping off sandwiches and just walking the picket lines with them for a half an hour or an hour,
Yep. No, anytime I see a picket line, I take the kids, because I think it's important that generation understands. This is how the middle class was built.
Yeah, and we need to get back to that.
Yeah, I'm with you. So any predictions for November, or are you kind of, I'm gonna hedge my bets?
Clean sweep.
All right, I'm looking forward to the blue wave. John, I appreciate the time. It was great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Cool. Thank you very much for having me on, sir.
Good stuff. John Havlicek, and not the Boston Celtic, but John Havlicek, the teacher from Wisconsin, who I think much more important. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Have the talk.